First, it's cold out, so it's a great time to work around a hot oven. Really hot. Our next guest says a lot of foods taste great when heated at 450 to 500 degrees. Vegetables, meat, pizza, you name it. Terry Milligan is a chef, culinary instructor, and food writer. You can follow her work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel food section and in the food magazine Edible Door. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I know over the years I've been kind of shy to heat stuff up too much, thinking I'm going to overcook it. How did you find your way to high heat cooking?
Well, it's kind of a fun way to get things done quickly because at the high heat, if you do it right, you can get even a roast chicken in just under an hour and have it be nice and crispy and still nice and moist inside if you do it the right way. And things like pizzas and vegetables really go quick but become caramelized in that high heat. Again, you got to kind of know the tricks to do it, but it works out great.
Right. The secret here is it's not just we do things at a higher heat and lower time and hope for the best, right? We actually got to think this out in advance.
It's best to have a plan.
Well, let's start with that chicken, roasting that chicken. I know people who have done this and swear by it. I usually do chicken, you know, breasts or something, just pieces. Mm-hmm. Talk about what we need to do to get that right, because I'd be worried about, great, I've got a chicken in there, I've cooked it really well on the outside and not enough on the inside.
That's right. That's why you've got to prep it correctly, and you've got to also obviously make sure you've got a nice chicken. So you start out with the best chicken that you can get. So a nice plump chicken, 4 to 5 pounds, has nice meat on it. If it's a free-range chicken, something like that would be even better. And you want to use about a 500-degree oven, actually. Then the trick is actually making sure that you have that chicken prepped right. So to get the crispy skin, you want to make sure that the outside skin is really dry. So what I tell folks to do is, you know, wash your chicken, pat it dry, but then let it set in the refrigerator for an hour or so and let the skin dry out, because that's where you get that crisp skin. Then to keep it moist on the inside, you want to make sure you truss it, which doesn't have to be fancy, just kind of tie in the legs, but make sure that you've got some aromatics inside. So put a piece of cut up orange and maybe some fresh herbs if you have them, and if not fresh, put in a lemon and a lime. But you need to have those little legs tied because you don't want the air to go through that little area there, because that's how you're going to dry out the meat, because you're getting the hot air going inside and outside. You just want it outside and then going in through the skin.
Now, if I was doing this, I think I would be paranoid around the appropriate cooking time. Like, I got to pull this out at just the right moment, or it's going to get dried out and overdone.
Well, that's where you have your oven thermometer. So I always tell folks, if this is the first time they're doing it, check it at about 45 minutes in, just to double check to see where you're at. Because everybody, even though you have know it's supposedly at 500 degrees, it might not be. And you want to make sure you have an oven thermometer kind of in there to make sure when you start cooking at high heat. But check between the leg and the thigh with your meat thermometer. And if it's really at 155, you can pull it out, because the chicken needs to rest about 10 to 15 minutes before you start carving it, and it'll cook another 5 minutes, so it'll get up to that 160, which is where you'd like chicken to be.
And you said between the leg and the thigh, because when I'm cooking a big piece of meat, I'm always like, where should I do it? Should I do it at the very thickest part? Does that mean I'm overcooking something else? So
yeah,
that's going to give us a good indication.
You want it, just like a turkey, it's kind of between that leg and that thigh piece. And that's where you want to go. And you want to go just, you know, you don't want to go through and hit the little air pocket in the middle of the chicken. You want to go just like an inch or so in, so you're still hitting the meat. But that's where you want to go.
Now, for whatever we're cooking at this high heat, I talked to a person who does food science, was talking about baking, actually. He said, really preheat that oven and then preheat it extra so that the walls get warm, so that it's not cooling too much every time you open the door. Are we doing the same thing here?
You are. And in fact, when I make pizza in a high heat oven, I actually put my pizza stone in the oven for an hour as it preheats. So the stone gets really, really hot. What you're trying to do is recreate those great open fires that you go to see at a pizza place, and it's, you know, they throw it in and 5 minutes it's done. We can't quite do that, but we can get close by heating up the pizza stone. Then once that hour is done, I use a pizza peel, the wood little peel that you would kind of push your pizza in right onto that hot stone. This is the trick. You turn the oven to broil for about 3 or 4 minutes. And you think that's crazy, but what it does is make that outside crust get that kind of blackened look, not burnt, but like those little blackened, oh, kind of bubbles. Makes it look like it was outside in a fire. Then you turn it back down to 500, and in about 10 to 12 minutes, your pizza's done. You're recreating it at home.
Great. We're talking to Terry Milligan. She's a chef and culinary instructor. We're talking about cooking stuff at high heats, higher than you might be used to, higher than I'm used to in some cases. Terry, I roast a lot of vegetables, especially, of course, in the winter, a pretty wide variety of them. And I did get that tip from our own Lori Skelton here at WPR to cook them hotter than I used to. And I got to say, it makes a huge difference. What is it? Why is it so much better?
Well, it brings out the natural sugars in the vegetables, especially root vegetables. So if you've done things like beets and carrots, you'll find that they get almost a caramelization on the outside. And that's because that high heat pulls out that sugar content. And then for things like Brussels sprouts, you get that like crispy little fluttery edge that, you know, everybody wants. So it's kind of very crispy on the outside but still cooked on the inside. So I think vegetables are great, root vegetables especially.
Give us some tips on preparing those root vegetables before they go in at that higher heat.
Well, one of the things that I have on my website is a recipe I did with carrots. And I did, instead of cutting the carrots into little pieces, I got full-sized carrots. If they're really thick, I'll cut them in half lengthwise. But otherwise, I put them in whole. And what's fun about that is you get a really beautiful presentation as well. And when you do the little pieces, they could cook too fast. But when you have those nice longer pieces, they're going to get still have a little crunchy kind of middle, but be really nice and roasted on the back. It's very beautiful.
Well, that's great, because I cut carrots into, you know, carrot sticks, julienne them or something like that, and most of them come out great. And then there's those skinny ones, because I'm not very careful about how to cut, and they're charcoal by the time it's done.
So you can kind of make them equal by, if you have some skinny and then some fat, cut those fat ones so they're all kind of equal proportions. And the other nice thing to do right now is, and a lot of stores now have rainbow carrots, so you can get yellow and purple and orange, and you can have just the picture I have on my site just shows this colorful array of carrots, and it was very simple preparation but so pretty.
We might hit some more in the vegetable family in a bit, but I want to get to some of the recipes you gave us. You got two actually that we've got at wpr.org/Food Friday. Let's go to cast iron roasted rosemary potatoes. This is in a cast iron skillet.
Correct. And cast iron is a great vehicle to use when roasting at high heat because it gets very even heat and it withstands the heat at high level. Sometimes you get pans and you have to be careful. It might say cannot go over 450 degrees. So a cast iron skillet, you have no problems going on high heat with.
So tell us about this potato recipe. Then.
So nice small potatoes. Look for those little new potatoes, red bliss potatoes, smaller Yukon golds. You can find little purple. I find even bags full of all three colors, which is great. All you're going to do is slice them in half and then toss them with some extra virgin olive oil. I like rosemary. Not everybody does, but you could use rosemary or oregano. A little coarse sea salt. Just kind of get that in a bowl and get them all covered. And then you put them cut side down in the hot pan. So you want that pan to get kind of hot before you put it in. And just let them roast about halfway through. It's going to take about 15 to 18 minutes. You can pop them on the other side just to get the other side cooked. But that side that was cut and on that hot pan, they're going to be perfectly roasted and crisp.
And with that oregano or rosemary, are we talking dry herb or the fresh stuff?
I prefer fresh, but it's not that easy in the wintertime. So you can certainly use dried. And what you have to remember is for every teaspoon of dried, it's going to be about a tablespoon of fresh. So if my recipe here calls for 2 tablespoons of fresh chopped rosemary, you'd use about 2 teaspoons of dried. So just know you're going to go down in the amount of dried versus fresh.
We're talking to Terry Milligan, a chef, culinary instructor, and food writer. She's with us to talk about high heat cooking methods. If you can't stand the cold, get into the kitchen and cook at 450 to 500 degrees for a lot of this stuff. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you do this? Do you cook stuff at high heats? What are some of your favorite recipes to really crank that oven up for? Or do you have questions about how to do it, what to use, how to cook different kinds of things at higher heats? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Chef Terry Milligan is with us on Food Friday. We're talking about high heat cooking with temperatures of 450 to 500 degrees in that oven. You can call in now to ask Terry your cooking questions. Do you have questions about cooking at higher heats? What you can do with it? Maybe what you can't do? What's the best thing you've made this way? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. To your calls now, David is with us in Slinger. David, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to ask about, David?
Well, I want to find out the best way to make crispy ham, for lack of a better term. We accidentally discovered this by basically burning our ham, but the part that wasn't burnt had a nice crispness to it. And if you burn it and you're not careful, you can also ruin your pan. So I'm imagining from what she was saying before that using cast iron might be a good way to go. But wondered if there were any suggestions about how to make crispy ham.
David, thanks. Terry, any ideas?
Well, I wondered if he was using a glaze of some sort to kind of get that ham crispy, because sometimes to get that that crispy crust on there, it's nice to put a glaze that has a little more sugar content, like a brown sugar Dijon mustard type glaze on top. And also to make sure if the ham has a lot of fat on it, you want to do that. It looks like a little diamond pattern. You want to do that so that fat kind of equally comes out on your ham and creates that nice crisp crust that he's looking for. So, I mean, that's kind of how I do it to get that kind of crispy outside on a ham. But a glaze is pretty important to get that little kind of sugar content, because unlike a vegetable, you don't have that much of sugar content in there.
And how hot would we cook that ham then?
Well,
with
I don't
that
know
glaze?
If I would go 500 on a ham. I mean, that's a little different. I probably would go a little bit more like a 400 or 375. I wouldn't go quite so high heat on it, because that's got a pretty dense meat ratio versus a chicken that you've got kind of nothing in the middle there. So you want to make sure you get through the whole ham and not get it, as he said, burnt on the outside. You know, you want to make sure it's got a nice juicy interior.
David, thanks. Hope that helps recreate without charring most of the ham.
We don't want char.
No. Casey joins us next in Rice Lake. Casey, hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I made a prime rib. Don't usually do prime ribs, but I did look at Christmas. And I did the heat the oven up to like 550, cook so much per pound, and then close the oven door, don't peek, 2 hours. And just wanted to know about, well, one thing, cookware, because you're right, that's probably cookware as far as
Casey, we're not hearing you too well, but I think I got the gist. Prime rib at a high temperature. She had read something about 550. She's wondering how to cook it and the cookware to cook it in, Terry.
Well, I think what she might be talking about is there's a way to cook rib roast and just a regular roast, too, where you cook at a very high temp, like a 500 to 550, but then you turn off the oven for 2 to 3 hours. So that it roasts in the oven, but you don't actually have it on. It kind of continues to go. So if you had a rib roast in there at 500 degrees, maybe a 6-pound roast, and you did it, turned it, got it into that hot oven, turned the oven off for about 2 hours without opening the door. You can't open the door because then you let that heat out.
Uh-huh.
In about 2 hours, you're going to have a medium rare piece of meat. So I'm thinking that's what she's talking about from what I could hear, because I thought I heard her say then you turn the oven off. And that is a great way to do these roasts. So get that high heat, it gives it a zing of crispiness, but then as the heat goes down, you're roasting that inside of the meat. And it works terrific on a rib roast or on just a regular beef roast. You just have to do some calculations on the pounds that you've got versus how many minutes you want to keep it in.
Casey, thanks a lot for calling. Hope that helps. We'll go next to Kate with us on Washington Island. Kate, hi.
Hello. Welcome. Why am I welcoming you? You should be welcoming me.
I do welcome you, Kate.
Well, I welcome Washington Island. I know it's cold up there.
Yes, but it's fantastic, and it's a great time to roast up at really high heat. So I have a little restaurant up here. It's called Fiddler's Green, and I have an Unox and also a Turbo Chef. And I have been, and that's 500 degrees at 60 miles an hour, that Turbo Chef is. And I am roasting everything from radishes to beets, any roots. I heard you mention that. I'm like, I got to call in. I don't know why I'm calling. I'm just calling to say that I love roasting stuff at high heat.
And it comes out great.
Well, I'm glad you said radishes, though. That's another great, you asked about, people forget about radishes. A high heat roasted radish is terrific.
What was that first piece of equipment? Oh, the radishes are okay, but what was that thing you said you made it in?
I've got two things. I've got an Unox, which is a, an oven that's made in Italy, and it's a combi. So it has the ability to do all sorts of different things, and then also a Turbo Chef, which is 500 degrees, and it's a convection, and it's 60 miles an hour.
Kate, thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds delicious, and Unox was new to me. But radishes, I don't even think about cooking with radishes usually, Terry. I just eat them raw, or I pickle them a little.
Well, I am working on a radish article right now, so that's why radishes are on my mind. And you can, they're great roasted with a little bit of sea salt on them. That's all you need, a little olive oil and sea salt. And because now you can get all these kind of unusual radishes, from watermelon radishes to French breakfast radishes, and the little red ones are just fine too, but there's a lot of radishes to select from.
Kate, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Terry Milligan. She's a chef, a food writer. You can read her in the Journal Sentinel or Edible Door. We're talking about cooking at high heat, a lovely thing to do this cold stretch of year. Back to your calls now. Andy is on the line in Madison. Andy, hi.
Hi. I actually look forward to a cold snap every winter. We like to do thin crust pizzas, and instead of a pizza stone, I just went out and got basically unglazed tiles from like a home improvement store, and I just line the oven with them, and you got to heat them up for an hour at 500.
Yep.
And you can even go down to a pizza thin crust pizza and just buy the dough from them.
Wow. So you make your own. Have you ever done that, Terry? I've never heard of people
do that.
Well,
I've heard of doing it where you can just buy, you know, you don't have to get a pizza stone, of course, as long as you get the right, as the caller said, the right
unglazed
type of, yes, you can't go down and you've got some leftover tiles from doing your living room. You don't want to use those. You just have to get the right ones, and that's a great way to do it. But as the caller said, heating that oven up to 500 for an hour, that's the way you get that really crisp crust.
Yum. Andy, thanks for calling. I want to get to the other recipe you gave us that we have at WPR.org/Food Friday, Terry. Cast iron skillet again, this one for roasted pork chops. Can you tell us about this?
Again, very simple. You've got the pork chops, some extra virgin olive oil, a little sea salt. I like cracked black pepper on it. And, again, I used fresh thyme, but you could use some dried. And I also like to put some whole garlic cloves, not the whole head of garlic, but some peeled garlic cloves and throw them in. And you get these little crispy garlic crunchies that go with the pork. So you do that, again, in a hot cast iron skillet. I usually start it on burner, and then I pop it into the oven and flip it halfway through. It depends on how fat those chops are, but it'll probably take about 8 minutes for the whole thing to go. Then I pull it out, and any of those little juices that are left in that pan, I make a little sauce out of it with white wine. Just pour a little white wine in there, some mushrooms, and at the very end, swirl 2 tablespoons of cold unsalted butter in there, and you get a little wine sauce with mushrooms to go over it.
And you just spoon that over the pork chops when you serve it?
A little spoon sauce.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really good, too.
And then you drink the rest of the wine.
And I wanted to bring up my favorite thing that I think the hottest thing I ever cook is usually cauliflower. That seems, for some reason, to work out really well at a higher temperature. I assume I read about it somewhere or heard about it from a Food Friday guest. What is it about cauliflower that works so well at high temperatures?
Well, I'm not quite sure what it is exactly, except that, you know, those vegetables do work so well in high heat. But again, you can get those little crispy flowerettes, or you can do, I've done whole heads as well. And then you kind of cut it up like a steak. So for vegetarians, especially that, and vegans, that makes a great kind of entree to have a whole head of hot roasted cauliflower.
Oh yeah, another recipe you have on your website, I didn't want to forget. It's a roasted tomato soup. So the hot oven part is pre-roasting those tomatoes, which I probably wouldn't have thought of.
Well, and I've got to tell you, that's one of the easiest soups in the world to make. You're putting those tomatoes in with a little bit of balsamic vinegar, and that brings out the sugar in the tomatoes. Then you basically put everything in a pot, and it's just stock the tomatoes. I used a little fresh basil at the end, but it's just pureed in a blender, and that's it. It took maybe 15 minutes total to make a nice big thing of soup.
Yeah, how long do these, are these little tomatoes or sliced up tomatoes?
I like to use a little round, like a teardrop or a baby, I'm losing what my concentration on what those are called. Teardrop.
Little
or
guys.
Cherry.
Cherry tomatoes. Oh,
cherry,
sure.
Tomatoes, yeah. And I use red ones, so I have nice red soup, but if those don't have a lot of seeds or water in them, you know, if you use those big tomatoes, they're just going to be, they're going to blow up and just be watery. But those little baby tomatoes, those will just become little kind of sugared tomato gems.
Well, Terry, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Terry Milligan. She's a chef, a culinary instructor, and a food writer. You can follow her over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's food section. She has a featured quarterly article in the food magazine Edible Door. That's like Door County. She joined us today to talk about high heat cooking, and you can find a couple of the recipes she shared today over at WPR.org/Food Friday. That pork chop one we were hearing about, and the potatoes, the rosemary potatoes, also in a cast iron skillet. While you're there, maybe share a recipe or a favorite of your own. Again, WPR.org/Food Friday to find a couple of Terry's recipes.